welcome back to Even More News, the first and, you guessed it, only news podcast. My name's Katie Stoll. Yeah.
I was gonna get, what, excuse me?
I don't know, we're having fun, aren't we?
Yeah, we are now.
Do yours, do you.
Hi, I'm Cody Johnston. Yow.
Well, you have to come up with your own catchphrase. Mine is yow.
Well, my catchphrase is more tonal. It's whatever you say, but way lower energy.
So not creative. Typical male. We're having fun. Joining us this week for the first and hopefully not the last time. We'll see by the end of the show. Comedy and comic book writer Alex Fuhrer.
Yo, hey everyone, Even More News, what a pleasure to be here. How was that? Try to bring the energy.
Really zany, really high energy, love it, no notes.
Oh!
Gosh.
I was worried about notes.
I have notes. More!
Oh, let's hear them! Yowza! I'm here with Cody Johnson, Katie Stoll, to discuss Texas voting law. Then a little sound effect there. Jonathan, a little sound effect. Okay, cool.
I think we did it. We got that in the can. Before we break to give you a quick beginning of the show ad, I need to mention that today's holiday, September 9th, is Care Bears Share Your Care Day.
Might be a corporate holiday.
This is very...
this might be the... I don't think that's a real... I think that's the kind of thing a corporation made just to get us to buy more Care Bears.
The bear industry is behind this one. Care Bears are on a mission... propaganda to spread caring and sharing around the world and encourage fans to spread caring, sharing, love, friendship, acceptance, fun, and happiness to those you love every day. I think that that's a good message.
That's a fine message. Maybe they should have called it like Care Bear Share Day or like it's too many cares and there's too many words.
There is. It's too complicated. Care Bears Share Your Care. Mm-mm. If I'm sharing my care, this just sounds like a big massage circle chain.
But like if you're Care Bears, I already know what I'd be sharing, right? Like it's the Care Bears, exactly.
That's how they share their love, right? It shoots from their tummies. Yeah. Am I remembering this?
Yeah, it's the power of sharing, the power of
Alex,
other.
You're the comedy comic book guy. This is more in your world.
I do work with baby properties. Sad adults go and they're like, oh, the Care Bears. I want to feel that sting of nostalgia. I don't know anything about these bears. I feel like they attack with their love, don't they? They're like the toxic positivity.
I mean, it's honestly codependent, if you're asking me right now. This Care Bears might be the single most detrimental thing to our personal relationships that we grew up with.
Yeah, that's the one.
I can't back this up. I'm just saying it right now.
You said it, though.
In the age
We've
of the
vamped on Care Bears for a while now, too.
Oh, I got a tight 20. Tight Care Bear 20. All right, go on. Sorry.
Speaking of caring, sharing this message with you. Yes, thanks to Raycon Wireless Earbuds for supporting Even More News. Get crisp, powerful beats at half the price of other premium audio brands. Raycon's offering you 15% off your entire order, and here's what you've got to do to get it. Go to buyraycon.com/evenmore.
That part's done. Alex, hi, hello, welcome. Hello. This is the part of the show where we touch base, we see how people are doing, how they're holding up with the never-ending pandemic. This is our first time having you on the show. So, you know, you can...
Yeah.
We can get to know you. Like, what's your deal?
What's my deal?
Yeah, what's your deal, man?
What's my deal? Oh, my God. We got Edgy's 80 stand-up. What's my deal? First of all, I think you're both amazingly funny, so thank you for having me on. I think you're both
the best.
Thank
you.
What's my deal? I write comic books about Rick and Morty. Maybe more someday, but for now, the Care Bears for adults, Mr. Ricks and Mortys. How am I doing? The pandemic. I don't know. I got kind of hopeless this week because I was like, oh,
did
man.
You?
Yeah, because for the longest time, it's like, vaccines. That's what's going to get us out. Yeah. And now I'm like, oh, this ain't it. No one's saying any other plan.
This ain't it. I know. I've been also in a similar state. Not just this week, but yeah, I've been thinking that a lot this week and talking about that with people. It does feel like a depressing part of this. To know that we have them and that people aren't taking them, to see the variants, to see the, you know, and it is disappointing. It actually, virologists, that's a word that I seem to not be able to say, are not surprised at the rates of breakthrough infections, and nor should we be terrified, but it's more than you would hope. You know? And the reality, the big hope that we were going towards of like, oh, we're vaccinated and we'll open up, and that lasted for a couple weeks. And we're seeing these cases rise all around the world. Yeah. Especially here.
Yeah.
We're not great with fractions and percentages. I think we wish it was zero, and the fact that it's not zero is tough. It's very troubling.
I think that in general, a rule of thumb for us right now is to, I acknowledge and see vaccine news about all of that, and then I let it go out. Once I okay, because it's changing so quickly and people don't seem to be in agreement about like how much we should be worried or should not be worried at this point in time. We haven't seen official data on the need for booster shots just yet. You know, there's a lot of stuff that's still changing. So I try not to like take it too seriously. But yeah,
that's good.
I'm saying that as if that's always true. Yeah, it's my attempt.
It's a good attitude. I mean, the world's falling apart in a lot of ways, which I'm sure we'll talk about. It all feels like we're heading towards the perfect burning, like the Trump administration, that was a perfect burning culmination of a lot of bad stuff. And it feels like we're rapidly heading towards that. And I don't know what's going to look like.
I think that's a really good point. I've another thing I've been saying and thinking about a lot, especially after January 6th, you know, and as things, it felt, and it continues to feel sometimes like it's eerie. Like you're like, I know that these pieces are moving around and they're building to something and I don't know what. And I don't think I'm just paranoid. That's the fact of the matter. Like it's not just, it's all of these different things. The climate change, the alt-right.
A lot of fever pitches going on. Yeah.
I think it is time for us to dig into some of this incredibly depressing news so that we can digest it, be there for each other, find our way somehow through this wild world together. I don't know. I'm rambling, Jonathan.
I got some broken news for you if you're ready. So Saturday is the 20th anniversary of 9/11.
We love 9/11. Anniversaries. Sorry. Yes. Wait. Okay. Yes.
Okay. Love anniversaries and commemorating things. I do have an interesting poll to share and get everyone's feedback on. This is a Washington Post ABC News poll. Nearly half of Americans, about 46%, now say that the events of September 11th, 2001, changed the U.S. for the worse. Mm-hmm. And if you are wondering why they'd ask that question, because of course, like in September 2002, that number was only 27% that said the country was worse for it, and 55% mm-hmm. said that it had changed the country for the better, and 33% of Americans still say that. And I don't know.
Wondering what world those 33% live in.
Well, because to me, the enduring,
I know what world
changes the domestic changes of 9/11 are there's more surveillance, Patriot Act, taking off your shoes at the airport, and then forever wars.
You really can't look at this and say that the country has changed for the better. I think that you look at this data and see like, yeah, that's checks out as to be the staunchest refuse to move from my political ideology, you know? Does that make sense? Like there are people that are like, well, there's no way I would admit that this was bad. I like taking my shoes off at the airport.
I feel like we all collectively agreed 9/11 was bad. What is this poll? Just about domestic stuff?
Yeah, it's a weirdly phrased poll. So the poll is not like, was the 9/11 good?
Was 9/11 good, right?
ABC News would do that, but they're like, did this change the country for the better? And I guess, what's the point of this poll if they don't specify what that means? Like, it's just gobbledygook.
Garbage poll. But it does seem important to commemorate the fact that this Saturday is the 20th anniversary of 9/11. When we were prepping the show this week and talking about, and I mentioned it, it's, well, we've talked about this a lot. You know, we've talked about it coming up.
We never forget.
But we never forget it. Because of course, the withdrawal from Afghanistan. So I don't know that we need to, like, go through and reflect on what our experiences were individually that day. But yeah, it is sobering and depressing, continues to be, especially seeing as how things have ended up in the state that we've left behind us.
This week, it's been interesting to see people share things from that era. Like the immediate post 9/11 era was so weird. There was this like NBC promo of new fall sitcoms that came out that I saw get shared around. And it was like, yeah, everything was so like solemn. We acted like they're about this huge pause in the world. It is actually really similar to the first month or two after lockdown and the pandemic. This like,
well, at the beginning of lockdown, I thought of that too. I was like, this feels like 9/11.
Yeah. And then we forgot that, messaging. You know, by May 2020, everyone's like, oh, screw this. Yeah, we're going to sneeze on each other again.
We can only like each other for so long. We can only care for each other so long. We got 2 months, and then we're going to Afghanistan and doing some stuff we shouldn't.
Yep.
Yeah, we'll have it's every because you know, like, disasters bring people together and so on. So we're just in this rhythm now. We're like, yeah, like every 2 months, a new thing. Like, oh, we're gonna come together for this thing, and then we'll remember we kind of hate each other and go in our separate ways, and then. Another one, and then we do that. And
yeah.
So I want to bring this thing up. A former Georgia district attorney, her name is Jackie Johnson. She's been charged with obstruction and violation of her oath of office in the case of Ahmaud Arbery. He's a black man who was followed and killed by three white men while out jogging in February 2020. The perpetrators of that were not arrested for several months. I think it was May when they were finally arrested. The local police department in Glynn County, Georgia, said they were told by the district attorney's office not to make any arrests. The day of the murder, one of the killers, Gregory McMichael, apparently knew and had previously worked for the district attorney, Jackie Johnson. And the allegation is that she intervened and said, don't arrest this guy who clearly committed a murder. She says she did nothing wrong and recused herself immediately from the case since McMichael was a former employee. She faces 1 year to 5 years in prison. The three men who allegedly killed Aubrey, Gregory McMichael, his son Travis McMichael, and William Bryan, their trial is scheduled to start February 2022. You know, I wanted to bring this up. This is the second week in a row that we're talking about some form of justice, you know, possibly being served in the case of a murdered black man. Last week we talked about the cops who killed Elijah McClain have just been indicted. Does this feel like a change in the wind, a slow potential march toward justice in some of these issues?
Yeah. I mean, it of course, this is something, and it is, I am very pleased by this news. It does feel good to see a little bit of momentum a couple weeks in a row of towards accountability. Vitally important steps that hopefully set the standard or start to set a standard. Like I said last week, do not feel a ton of optimism immediately in terms of what this will look like on the day-to-day basis for people. I mean, the fact that these stories, that this accountability is showing up now is only because the world was paying attention, is because we all were outraged and saying these names, these men's names over and over. And I am absolutely thrilled to see this justice, but I don't know.
It goes away when we stop paying attention. There's no assurance of a snowball effect here.
I mean, just so many of the cases in general that we know about that we know to be upset and fight about, and we know people are digging into the cops' background of this and that. So many of that is only because some witness happened to be there and catch it on camera. And yes, this is happening because those people are showing up for each other and documenting what's happening and speaking out, and we're having these conversations, and I'm really proud of that. I think that activists and organizers and everybody that's been showing up get a lot of credit for this, but I don't know that this denotes systemic change at this point, you know?
Well, yeah. I agree. I mean, it does all the things you said and doesn't do the last thing you said. This isn't like a systemic thing. It's just every, you know, like you're saying, people notice and are talking about it more, and this is happening more often, which is good, but it doesn't get to the root of these issues. It's not because new policies have been put into place. It's not because
things have actually changed beyond socially a bit.
But I do think it's important to take a win as a win as well.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
To see that.
And I've got some, speaking of cops, broken news here.
Mm. Yes.
Did they do local cop does good?
Did local cop do good?
I don't have a local cop does good story.
Local cop do bad?
Maybe
local
I'll dig around harder bad. For that. I do
local
have,
cop do bad? That local, could be its own section.
Ooh. Got a little theme song? Little siren?
Yeah, this week in local cop does bad.
Yeah, with the Leslie Nielsen thing.
Yeah.
We'll work on that.
The Brennan Center got a hold of some internal LAPD documents. They found that cops in Los Angeles have been instructed to collect the social media information of every civilian they interview, including individuals who are not arrested or accused of a crime. They have these
cute.
Yeah, it's cute, right? They just want to keep
cute
up.
Look, LAPD.
Keep up with people, see how people's metrics are doing. Yeah, they have these field interview cards that ask for Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and other.
That's engagement, accounts. My friend.
Yeah.
That's, yes. We like engagement.
Hashtag right. Content.
It's going to push your numbers up, if anything. You know, according to the LA Times, these have been
people
used
people are getting arrested just to increase their social media clout. Sorry. Continue, Jonathan. I'll stop.
That old Vine house in Hollywood would be jumping
the latest,
at the chance.
They're not going to need to go on The Bachelor anymore. They just need to
yeah, the LA Times says this has been used to falsely accuse civilians of being gang members, and at least one division has disproportionately filled out the cards for Black and Latino residents. I'm going to emphasize the at least one division. In that sentence, these cards also include a line for social security numbers, and it says on the card that like cops are told like to tell the people they're interviewing that they have to collect the social security numbers, which according to immigration lawyers is not true. You do not
why would you
do that? You don't have to give them
your
Twitter
social
either.
Security number out.
Don't give them your social
don't give them the cops.
Anything. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Like if a cop asked me for my social security number, I. Drive away because that's not a cop. That's I would think that's not a cop.
Gotta
that's
give a funny
trying
one.
To murder me, like pretending to be a cop. So how long has this been going on? Do you know how long they've been doing this?
I mean, the Brennan Center filed to like get these documents early last year. It says they submitted a request under the California Public Records Act, January 30th, 2020.
Genuinely,
you know what?
Don't understand how any of this could be legal.
Yeah, but the memo that they got is from like October 2018. So this has been going on for a while, and it made like one Loyola law professor told The Guardian that asking for social security numbers is, this is a quote, so antithetical to the department's own policies and clearly violates the spirit of sanctuary laws, which are supposed to prevent officers from asking civilians their immigration status. So
yeah.
I don't know. I'm sure there's going to be lawsuits about this. I don't know. In terms of the legality of it, when a lawyer says antithetical to a department's policies and violates the spirit of sanctuary laws, you got to think of something violating the spirit of a law that's illegal.
Yeah, you got to. Yeah. You got to at least think that.
You got to
wonder, maybe.
Cops doing illegal things. This is what they do.
Huh?
Yeah?
Yeah.
What?
The cop done bad.
Cop done bad.
I'm just a little confused, but I'm not confused at all. I'm not confused at all, but this has been going, I have interacted with the police a number of times, like when my car got totaled or different times I've been, you know, like there's different things. Like, nobody's ever asked me for any of this, but I'm a white woman.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Is this all over the place? Is this one county?
This is the LAPD.
Oh, it's us! All right.
Yeah, it's us. Sorry to break it to you, Alex.
No, I thought about that sometimes. Cops finding anti-cop tweets, harassing you for it. It feels like something easy to do. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know. I just yell fuck 12 whenever a cop drives by my house, so.
Yeah, you're doing your part, Katie.
Is that what it is? Fuck 12?
Yeah.
Am I doing it totally wrong? Fuck 5!
Whoa!
The they've been using this what's it called, I can't find it.
Geo tracking.
It's a service called like Geofedia. Yes, Geofedia, which they use to like track like search hashtags and things like that in tweets. And they've been using it reportedly specifically just to search for social media activity related to social justice protesters, the terms like say her name, BLMLA, fuck Donald Trump, etc.
So
I mean, they should add fuck 12 to that too. Then.
They should. If they don't have ACAB on there, they're not doing a very good job of tracking people. Yeah. So this is one of those. This is one of those huge civil violations that I'm sure, you know, some local news sources in LA will track, and others, the television ones, will completely ignore potentially.
I want to definitely follow this and learn more about it and see what happens, and look into if there are things that you can do to refuse this if you happen to be impacted by it. We do got to move on soon, but real quick, one
Google
last thing.
LASD broken gangs.
Yeah, there you go. No, that's not my real quick. I just wanted to do one last ditch effort plug of the California recall next week. As you all should know by now, because we have talked about it enough, this is really important. Polling so far is looking good right now for Gavin Newsom, but also really disturbingly low number of ballots have been returned. So we'll see what happens. But once again, just to underscore the stakes here, not just about California, Dianne Feinstein, not necessarily going to last very long. Larry Elder, if he wins, will
not doing
take
so great.
No time replacing Justice, her with the conservative.
Justice Breyer also not doing great.
Good.
Maybe those
so
are related.
Really, really important. Again, call your relatives in California, please. I literally have to. My I'm not going to say which family member. There was a family member that kind of sent an eye roll emoji and was like, I don't want to vote. And I said, too bad. And then we got into it. And they are. But it took a moment. So that's it's important. Even if you think that somebody is a shoo-in to vote, they might not be, because
that's what
look
you
around. Things aren't good.
Yeah. Go vote if you can. I saw a commercial yesterday from Bernie Sanders telling me to vote against the recall, and then I also saw a commercial from some unnamed man who said that Gavin Newsom reminded him of the guy who stole his girlfriend in high school.
Whoa.
No.
Sounds like a badass.
He was a badass. He was really intimidating. I was like, well, now I can't vote against this. So I've changed my mind. I'm against.
You're like, well, this goes against all my moral values, so
and
fuck.
Yet. And yet, yeah, so if you want to support that guy and his girlfriend who got stolen by somebody who is reminded
says,
of Gavin Newsom,
is this a real ad?
Then, yeah, it is a real ad,
oh,
yes.
Boy.
He said, Gavin Newsom reminds me of the guy who stole my girlfriend and then left her for
and
a
then dumped
girl.
Her. Yeah.
Okay.
So this was very.
I mean, I
very
look at
specific.
Gavin.
It was exactly the thing
I
that happened to him.
I don't know this guy or anything about his life, but I look at Gavin and I'm like, yeah, I see that.
This guy sounds. Obviously.
Yeah, no, it's not a bad point.
Yeah, but also look at the other guy. He pointed a loaded gun at his ex-fiance.
Ew.
So when you know
that Larry Elder.
Mm. Yeah, he sure did. He pulled out a loaded gun and he checked it to make sure it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Did you guys see Larry Elder get yelled at in Venice yesterday?
No.
No.
I mean, not live, but video recordings of it.
Good for them. Good for them.
Missed it.
What do you yell?
He does support a $0 minimum wage, so.
What is a zero tolerant minimum wage?
It means there's no minimum wage.
Yeah.
It means he doesn't want there to be one.
Got it. We're going to take a quick break for advertisements, and then we will be back.
You know what, though?
What?
You're right.
For even more news.
No matter how you're feeling about getting back out there or still staying in there, there's no denying that events are happening. And one thing you can do while things happen is listen via devices. So, excellent transition and ad tie-in. We're teaming up with Raycon, and you can get 15% off your Raycon order at buyraycon.com/evenmore. Sometimes you need some upbeat music to pump you up before you see people, or to stay calm with some guided meditation, or to whatever else you want to do. I use Raycons to listen to my favorite hilarious and at times disgusting D&D podcast while I do chores. It keeps me engaged just enough to complete the tasks in front of me while also taking me to you know, some sort of other narrative realm. Raycons are an excellent way to listen to such magical nonsense. They also come with a bunch of gel tips for your comfort without the stemmy dangler sticking out of your listening holes. Their charging case has a 32-hour battery life, and the earbuds have more than 6 hours of listening time. And guess what? They also start at half the price of other premium and unnamed audio brands. As if that weren't enough for you beautiful ear goblins, Raycons come with a 45-day happiness guarantee. So, at the very least, you could give them a try. Create your own soundtrack with Raycon. Right now, our listeners can get 15% off their Raycon order at buyraycon.com/evenmore. That's buyraycon.com/evenmore to save 15% on Raycons. buyraycon.com/evenmore.
And we are back, as promised, for even more news. Yow!
Yeah.
No, it's not working. It's not working.
It is working. It is working. Do not doubt yourself, okay?
Thank you. Let's get into some GD news.
Yow!
Let's talk about Texas some more. Very cute. Because there's always more to say about Texas, I guess. Yeah. Guys, you might not have seen this. Hopefully you did. Governor Greg Abbott. And I don't know. Trying
got
to do something
him.
With Gag.
Got his ass.
Yeah, we're really roasting him. He signed the state's he signed the state's election overhaul bill, SB1, into law this week. SB1 is set to take effect in 3 months, which, you guessed it, is plenty of time for the 2020 primary elections.
But it's an overhaul to make it better, right? You overhaul it to make it better.
Yes, I'm going to tell you how. By banning 24-hour and drive-through voting.
Okay, it sounds like then I would be less able to vote, but go on.
Yeah. Empowers partisan poll watchers. They now will get free movement around a polling place, except for inside of an actual voting booth, which, you know, is like potential intimidation for voters in
line.
Sounds
like I might be intimidated when I vote, but okay, go on.
Voters have to give their driver's license number or the last four digits of their social security number. At least they're not asking for the whole dang thing like LAPD. Election officials cannot automatically send applications for mail-in ballots. Okay, so you don't automatically get an application. Okay, seems like that's making it less easy, but I don't know. I mean, he signed it, so it must be good, right?
Well, there's a good one at the end. Let's keep going, Brad. Keep going.
Yeah, the one piece of this legislation that expands access is a provision that expands early voting hours in smaller countries.
The Democrats fought hard, and they got a provision.
So this is bipartisan.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah, bipartisan.
Coming together to ban 24-hour drive-through voting. It's called compromise. It's called the art of the deal, and we support it.
Yeah, we
love
only
art,
got it.
And we love deals.
So a bunch of lawsuits have already been filed against SB1 even before it was signed. You know, the ACLU, the League of Women Voters in Texas, Texas Organizing Project, NAACP Legal Defense and Education Fund. Mark Elias? I don't know. the leading Democratic elections lawyer apparently has also filed a lawsuit on behalf of Texas organizers, arguing that it violates the Voting Rights Act. How did this happen? How did Greg do it? I don't know. It's all very upsetting because this is, I mean, much like the abortion ban, which we'll talk about a little bit more, some updates of that. Texas is really leading the way. What we're seeing across the country are other bills set up to have already being passed and about to pass.
Yeah, they're the Lone Star State. They're leading a revolution of independence by limiting people's participation in democracy.
I don't know. I'm having a hard time talking about this because it's depressing and demoralizing.
Way they did it was just to wait out the Democrats who left the state for 38 days.
Yes.
And then they're just like, well, they have to come back to where they live eventually. And as long as they do that before the 2022 elections, we're fine with that.
Yeah. And I mean, it's not just like abortion. This is a long-term plan that's playing out. This is about us losing state level races and, you know, Republican majorities in legislative chambers, you know, passing things. And then, you know, we're looking to Congress. A lot of like state level Democrats trying to fight this are looking to Congress to, you know, pass voter protections. And that's not happening unless we've decide to get rid of the filibuster, which is not the conversation we're really having, except for Amy Klobuchar and some other people.
No, I'm very concerned about the whole thing. This bill specifically disenfranchises voters with disabilities, non-English speakers, people of color. One of the big stories of last year is how all of the things we did with when the pandemic happened made it more accessible for many disabled people to vote. And it was like, oh, we could have always just done this thing to help some people vote who have a hard time getting to the polling place and waiting for 6 hours in line. And now it's like, well, let's just take those things away. Why would we do that unless we like didn't want them to vote?
It's very transparent.
Yeah, it's shameless.
Yeah. It's transparent. It's obvious. We're all going to, but the public is going to stop caring about it pretty soon. And that's part of the secret. That's why the stuff always works. We get less angry as like other stuff just rises to the top.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, the focus is always shifting. And so the focus is needed on each issue can never really do anything about it.
I wish it wasn't always falling on like the activists who work even harder. But I would love to see, because a lot of this stuff is targeting specifically Harris County, Texas, which includes Houston, which saw kind of like a higher voter turnout in 2020. And I think that's one of the areas where the GOP is really concerned. Like, oh, if this trend continues into 2024, if some of these cities get too big and too blue, that's what's going to finally turn Texas blue. Texas still went to Trump by several points and they're right. Fine right now. But they're like, I think if we get to 2024 and they can find a way to really get out the vote and find that voting numbers in Houston don't go down in 2024, it would be like a victory over this law. But unfortunately, it's always on like the activists working on the ground to like work right. even harder to circumvent their own government, unfortunately.
Related in that it's also Texas, I think we should talk a little bit about some updates to the abortion ban news in Texas. Before we do that, I want to mention something that I didn't get to last week, and I wish that I had. I talked about it on Worst Year Ever, but now I'm talking about it here. Sorry, but listen to both. Yow! Ooh, that one came out a little throatier. And this is the issue of inclusivity in our conversations about reproductive rights. It was pointed out to me, and I really appreciated it. And then I did a lot of reading myself over the weekend that we need to include trans men and non-binary people in this conversation about reproductive rights. Otherwise, what are we even doing? It's not just about women. And even within our community, I see some people pushing back on that. And I just want to squash it, squash it right now. This isn't me trying to shame you. It's, yeah, we are an inclusive space. And if we're not fighting for each other, then what's the point? It's both things. So as you talk about this, as you have these conversations in your own personal life, I encourage you to bring this up and to do your best to be mindful of how you're going about talking about it. That's one little thing I had to say. Yeah. I just think that this is the opportunity for us to learn and start to examine the way we've thought and talked about it in the past, because the world is different now. And we are all finally acknowledging that gender and gender identity is not binary and it's not one thing or the other. And that's an important part of this conversation. And you know, and I had intended to say something to that effect, but even at that, it wouldn't have been deep enough. So I really appreciate everybody who's reached out and like and brought this conversation up, because it's really important. Along those lines, here's an update from Texas. Right before we started recording, the Justice Department has announced that it is suing Texas over the constitutionality of the law, specifically the way the law is thwarting judicial review by deputizing private citizens to be little narcs on each other. I think that's the exact term that they use in the law. Little narcs.
Yeah, little narcs and their snitch line. Yeah, I mean, this is going to be a long... we talked about it last week and on Witcher Ever and stuff. This is going to be a long process and battle, as other states do what Texas did. And then the Justice Department has to sue those states.
And then, it goes to a district court in each of those states. Eventually, everything gets appealed. The Supreme Court, which is already... Like, I worry it's a foregone conclusion because we... Is there a way that the Supreme Court isn't going to just do what they want to do?
I mean, it doesn't look good. They've signaled what they intend with their original, with this decision already, but it can go up the chain and end up there in a lawsuit that's challenging the constitutionality of the law. And they could rule on that because they kind of punted on that. But I think that in the meantime, we're going to have even more direct challenges to Roe.
I think we are, in this term. But it's going to, I don't know, I think it sort of will culminate in this sort of, like, because they punted it because they know that, like, we shouldn't, when they're faced with it, wonder/hope if they'll actually do the right thing, but never know. I do think, I've mentioned this on Worst Year Ever briefly, and I just wanted to mention it here because it's within its context, too. Abbott was talking about this law, and he was asked about, like, rape and incest victims and how the law pertains to them. And he sort of brushed it off by saying he was going to, like, get all the rapists and, like, put them in jail, which is weird. He wasn't going to do that already. But one thing he mentioned was that he said that under the law, you can get an abortion after at least 6 weeks. And then he sort of continued with the rapist comment. But that it was like a little sly, and he slipped in the words at least 6 weeks, which isn't very accurate. And it tells me that he knows that this is a bad law and that people, like the majority of people, don't actually support it. And when they're actually confronted with these sort of things, they have to lie and manipulate the language to make it not seem as severe as it actually is. Yeah. Which to me, at least, whether or not anything will come of it, sort of indicates that, like, they know, and they know they have to lie about it. So maybe this isn't actually sustainable. At least in terms of public opinion. I don't know.
That guy from Tripwire, the CEO of Tripwire, tweeted that he supported the law. He got fired. You can lose your job for saying that you support the law because it's so on its face hateful. Like, the public support isn't there. It's like Larry Elder's the same thing. It's knowing how to manipulate this, like, minimal amount of the population to get what you want. And it works every time, effortlessly.
It does work every time.
I would like to be optimistic. Yeah,
that's the thing. I'm just trying to be optimistic about it because I know. Because again, like when we've talked about this for many years, like what you're saying, it's unpopular. They keep getting away with it, but most of their opinions are very unpopular, and they have to do these, sneaky things or lie.
They have to they've successfully called it a fetal heartbeat bill. Mm. And it was only recently that I found out it's not a heartbeat at all.
What is it?
Yeah.
It is a series of faint electrical signals that are in the place that will eventually be the pacemaker of the heart. There's no heart formed. It's not even a fetus at 6 weeks. It's still an embryo. It is these electrical signals, and the only thing that makes like a beating sound at all is made by the machine in the ultrasound room.
Yeah.
Like we have selected an arbitrary moment of like electrical pulses. It's not a heartbeat, and yet the same, it's like this estate tax, death tax thing again. They've managed to Karl Rove style just declare what it is, and we're like, well, we're against the fetal heartbeat bill, instead of being like, wait, this is a catastrophe. That's not what it is.
Yeah, they're very good at that. Mentioned this before, even like the global warming climate change shift, even though they're both like accurate terms and can be used to talk about what's happening, it was a specific move to try to make it sound less scary. They're like, well, global warming sounds scary to people, so we're going to start saying climate change because it's less scary. Turns out nothing's scary enough. So
guys, in our last little chunk of time here, I think that we should do something fun. I think that we should play with this new gut field segment. What do you think?
Oh, I would love to play Gut Punch.
Is it time for Gut Punch? Is it time for Gut Punch? Because yes,
I think it's
absolutely.
Time for Gut Punch. Let's lighten this. Let's lighten this up.
I'm ready.
Lighten
I'm ready.
The load. So I'm gonna explain this to our listeners. This is a game called Gut Punch. I'm gonna play three clips from the hit Fox News show Gutfeld. And we're going to go to our hosts and our guest to try to punch up those jokes. We've all got some comedy chops here. We're going to try and make them a little bit better because they don't know how to write jokes so well on that Gutfeld. So let me...
Maybe you just don't get them, Jonathan.
That's true. I'm notoriously dense when okay. it comes to comedy. All right. Here is clip one.
Here we are again, a brand new show and a brand new Greg. I'm as giddy as Kamala Harris explaining kids in cages. Or Woody Allen hearing about kids in cages. If you've been watching the GG show on Saturdays, welcome. If you love The Five and felt the need for more GG, that's awesome. If you ended up here because you thought your TV was the microwave oven, it's good to see you, Mr. President. Your pizza will be warm in 2 minutes. And Hunter, he brought the extra cheese.
Okay, that's, there's a lot there. You don't need to punch up all the jokes. Pick
pretty
one.
Underwhelming. Kamala Harris, excited as Kamala Harris is at a fundraiser with the police union.
Hey, you're more excited. That yeah, that's great. I didn't get the first one. Why is she excited about kids in cages?
I think because it makes the Trump administration look bad. I think
but
that's
they're the ones who put the kids in the cages. Gutfeld!
Cody, any thoughts on...
fucked up.
It's not even like... There's just like... What are you punching up what? Like, what is this? It's just like... It's not... You know, I get the... Okay, microwave oven... okay.
Also, you should have said Hunter was going to bring the greens or something.
Right, okay, so that's the thing. What does he
extra
mean
cheese.
When he brought the
so
extra cheese?
I had to look this up. That week when he did this joke, there was a news story that Hunter Biden said he used to smoke Parmesan cheese because it looked like... I had no idea.
Okay, then talk about Parmesan cheese specifically because you're talking... You don't put Parmesan cheese...
It felt like I was... Matter. Like entering into like a fandom I wasn't aware of. Like when you go on like a message board and everyone's like, oh, the graphics in this are worse than this game. And you're like, I don't know what you're talking about. You have to be just like so embedded to understand all these references.
Right. That's the thing like about like so much of this is like they've crafted their own reality and they have the things that they care about. And like 80% of the things they care about is just Hunter Biden. We ran some clips in a recent episode of Some More News that Gutfeld was doing. Mm-hmm. And even then it's like, why are you only talking about Hunter Biden
right.
doing drugs? It's so weird how obsessed they are with that.
Because it's
that.
The only thing that people are paying attention to, I guess. Like they don't have anything else.
Yeah.
So yeah. All right. Well, I guess what we're saying is those jokes are so bad. And
I don't know. I gave some good punch ups.
I did some writing on this one. Hold on. I don't know how good this is going to be. This is a more serious podcast.
You've done
than
enough WGA style writing here that we can not give you health insurance because of it. All right. Are you guys ready for clip number two?
Yeah, but also, does pizza take more than 2 minutes to like cook in a microwave? Is he microwaving the pizza?
He's microwaving I guess if he's reheating it.
You
but
really should reheat it.
2 minutes is too long to reheat pizza.
But in the joke, he's got dementia. Everything's already
so
very
he did, so
bad.
He did the wrong number. His
Life is broken. I want the president to eat better, but he can't help himself in this Fox News.
All right, here's number two. Can you guys all see this?
It's why as a kid, everybody wanted to be Simon in a game of Simon Says. It's like becoming a narc who sells cocaine or a New York governor with faster hands than a blackjack dealer. But then there's Cori Bush. This fiery ball of hypocrisy makes Maxine Waters sound like Mahatma Gandhi.
I don't understand what he's saying.
I have thought.
Well,
so he's just talking about the whole. I'm not going to make everyone watch the whole clip. He's talking about like how Democrats are fascists and want to like be a nanny state and tell you what to do. So that's his whole bit about why you wanted to be Simon, and Simon Says is because you want like control over ordinary real Americans. I have thought, you guys need to talk, I've thought about that. Cori Bush makes Maxine Waters look like Mahatma Gandhi.
I don't get it.
Joke all day.
So he,
I can't
so,
figure
so
it
he
out.
Thinks those names. Two people, does he like Gandhi? That's the other thing. Can't imagine
right.
He does.
Also, right, I like, think they that do, Gandhi is closer in Cori Bush's ideology than anybody on the right.
So it's three people who are all equally bad in his mind.
Right. They just always do this thing where it's like they make references and like, surely it's like shorthand. Like they don't even try to think about what they're saying. It's like pick good person.
It doesn't.
This is like that bad is this person. Yeah.
Are they,
it's just a cadence waiting for a laugh line.
Are they imitating Dennis Leary? Who does not Dennis Leary?
Yeah.
Shit.
And it's like the Ayatollah doing that. Yeah.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah. Because he used to do O'Reilly. He used to have his own show on Fox News. He's like a Fox News guy.
It's like becoming a narc who sells cocaine.
I don't get it.
What, Tim Allen? Got it.
But like, because like
control
so
and
kid,
also the problem.
As a kid, everyone wants to be Simon. Game of Simon Says, like becoming a narc who sells cocaine. Like, first of all, like. Don't a lot of Democrats, at least performatively, want to, like, legalize and decriminalize a lot of drugs? Mm-hmm. So, like, what does he mean by that? And also, I mean, you could have taken a few more, like, a New York governor with faster hands than a blackjack dealer. Like, that's, like...
I don't understand. How is this anything... It doesn't matter. This,
I think we can work on that,
though. My note is that this isn't, like... None of these examples are, like, Simon in a game of Simon Says.
A New York governor with faster hands than a blackjack dealer. Like, I get what he's saying. It's just not funny because the reference of a blackjack dealer is like, oh, yeah, I guess they have
fast
hands.
That's just a thing,
like,
right?
He has a nicer life than us. He's playing blackjack all day. I'm a working class guy. I don't play that. That's a fast hands. Faster hands
yeah,
than my landlord.
You'd need to do it. You'd need to poke fun at something else, like a New York governor with faster hands than like Bill Clinton flipping a pizza. That's
ooh,
not good. But
right.
You know
no, that
like,
was
or
good.
Like or like for
Bill
for
Clinton
Greg for Greg's audience, if you're Greg Gutfeld, you'd be like sells cocaine or a New York governor with faster hands than Hunter Biden when he's binging on cocaine or whatever, right?
Yeah,
like that's all
go.
They want. That's what they fucking want out of this shit.
All right, let's do the last one.
Last one. All right. Here we go.
Should Americans take a break for mental health's sake? A new survey suggests that busting our butts is making us nuts. Are you overwhelmed with work and life and family obligations? Please keep it to yourself. I have my own problems. You should see the rash I got from play wrestling that pygmy goat. I won 3 out of 5, but I guess he got the last laugh. And the only laugh, apparently. But you're not alone. A third of Americans say they haven't had a day to relax alone in more than 3 months.
Wait a second. Okay. So
what's he trying to say here? He's making the case that Americans do need a mental health break.
Here is Greg Gutfeld's problem, amongst many of his many problems. What you're saying, Katie, because more often than not, he, in order to do these bits and jokes and like make fun of this stuff, he has to basically like from his, like his show's point of view, say like the wrong thing, because you're wondering like, wait, is he saying that we shouldn't take mental health breaks or is he saying that we should? I think I haven't seen the whole clip. I think that ultimately he would have to come down on the fact that like, yeah, we should, but he knows the audience and the world that he's trying to craft. And so he needs to like obfuscate it for some reason. I would need to watch the whole clip, but also yeah. Why did he wrestle the pygmy goat?
That, I mean, that's why I included
this. And what does that have
this?
To do with, yeah.
You know what he's
I
doing?
Think...
He's doing random uwu comedy. This
yeah,
is Invader
think...
Zim, baby. Yeah.
Right. It's like a nurse in a bus full of orphans. Like, it's just like picking things and saying them. Yeah.
Right. I think he's like, weird is funny. So let's do this absurdist thing. So I'm too busy wrestling a pygmy goat. But, you know, this is.
For the viewer at home, the goat had a bow tie, by the way. I realize. The listener might not know this, and I think it puts the gag.
It was a visual gag.
It was a visual gag here. This was a nerd
so
goat.
Maybe that helps. It didn't really save the joke. Yeah.
I like that they're
why
only,
did the sorry. Goat win? He won 3 out of 5, but he got the last laugh and the only laugh, apparently. why did he get the last laugh? Because he has a rash?
Yeah, the goat gave him a rash, which might have been the goal. I don't, like, this is, Alex, you could back me up on this. This is UCB 101 up, stuff. Of, like, so the first question would be, like, why is he wrestling a pygmy goat? Can you justify this for me a little bit?
He would have been the guy that gets really angry in the UCB 101 class and storms out.
Well, because, like,
the notes.
You have this thing where it's, like... Okay.
All right.
Like, his problem from me reading this joke over and over now, it's not that he got a rash from wrestling a pygmy goat. His problem seems to be that he has to wrestle the pygmy goat. Like, that's the problem. So, like, it's just...
I got that he was electing to, that there was no requirement.
Right. So, like, why... And why is that not an issue? And did you not know that you were going to get this rash? And, like, why? What does that have to do with, like, people who don't have any free time? It sounds like you have too much free time, Greg, because you're wasting it wrestling a pygmy goat for fun. 5 times, apparently. And I just – it's just nonsense for the nonsense's sake. And there's an element of this that is so ungrounded in any element of truth that I think is really – it's – Ted Cruz does it a lot. Mike Huckabee does it a lot. A lot of these attempts at conservative comedy do it a lot because they have to. They know they can't punch up because that's where their bread is buttered. So they have to punch down, which can come off very mean and disgusting. And so I think there's some leaning away from that.
A big thing about this is it's not like you talk about conservative comedy, and I think like Mike Judge, I think, is a great conservative comedian. Certain episodes of South Park. Because what you're looking at is it's not really conservative comedy. It's an attempt at propaganda. And they want to make their point so heavily they can't do it. It's not comedy. It's propaganda where they're hoping that enough of their already converted flock will laugh. And with that laugh will come some kind of acceptance. But yeah, that's why this shit never works. And it's the thing is, it's not supposed to work on you. It's just someone who's like... would die before they get the vaccine. Like, yeah, Pat Oswalt's unpopular. And like, he clearly isn't. He's in a baby movie, Ratatouille. It's going to be popular until we all die.
Yeah, and that's the thing, because it's like, it always comes off, like, they're not like, I'm trying to make people laugh. It's just like, no, you're just angry. Yeah. And you're angry and trying to couch it in, like, I don't know. His whole thing is so weird to me. It's funny that you picked these three clips, and I think each one he like really fumbles with saying them. It's not just that like he like doesn't nail the delivery, which is another issue where it's like, okay, you didn't quite know the joke you were telling, so you didn't have the correct inflection. You didn't like build to something. There's no tonal shift. Like you're not presenting it like a joke. But with him, it's not just that. It's that like he just can't say the words. It's very uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah, I chose these three clips because they're just Gutfeld talking, because there's that other one I think people have seen, and he did this bit like several nights in a row early on in his run where he's like, let's see what they're talking about on CNN right now. And it's white people calling each other racist, which is his like idea of what's on CNN. And he like cuts to this thing. And it's people being like, you're racist. That's the most racist thing I've ever heard for like a solid 45 seconds. End of bit.
Yeah, it goes on and on and on. And like, well, and just a quick thing about that too. Sorry, I know, Katie, you want to get out of this Gutfeld. You are tired of the gut punches. But like,
I'm gonna climb myself out of here.
I know. But those segments, he would do these segments also of like, here's what's on CNN right now. It's like all Trump News Network or whatever. And it's just, they're all talking about Trump constantly. And like, that is again a premise that just is not true. Yes, the media is obsessed with Donald Trump, and for the 4 years he was president, they wouldn't shut the fuck up about him, partly because he was the president. But also, like, that is true, a very Trump network. But, like, that really didn't keep happening. Like, I know it was expected, like, oh, you're sad that Trump's gone, you gotta make every story about Trump. But he wasn't really in the media that much after he lost. Like, after
he got banned from Twitter.
After he got banned from Twitter and, like, the January 6th stuff and everything, like, they talked about these events, but they didn't talk about him specifically. Unless he, like, did some wacky interview. But it's just, like, one of those things where it's like, this is a joke that works 2 years ago when it was true. But he's just angry about these premises in his mind that aren't true, and so when he does the bits, they're like, but you have to have some element of truth to be funny. That's part of the point. That's part of why we laugh, unless it's like a silly thing. I don't know. I'm sorry.
You don't know comedy, Cody.
I'm sorry.
At all, clearly. Guys, sorry. This has been a great conversation. I do want to climb out of the gut. The gut hole. Alex, it's been a delight having you here. Can you please talk to us about your work and tell us where our listeners can find you, etc.?
Are you a bad kid who hates doing his homework? Then you love, of course, deep down in heart. Do you love Rick and Morty cartoons and said, I wish I could read them? The less fun way to watch media. Then you're gonna love Rick and Morty comics. Just look up my name. Buy Rick's new hat. The collected edition should come out in December. Buy it on Amazon. I'm up against the Snoopy planner, which has been beating my ass in the humor charts.
Oh, we gotta show it to Snoopy.
Fuck Charles Schultz. I'm gonna say it right now.
Say it. Say it louder. Say it prouder.
Hey. Loud and proud.
Hey, Charles Schultz. I hope God is smiling on you in heaven.
Oh.
No, fuck you, Charles Schultz.
Fuck you, Charles Schultz. Your planner ain't beating me, the 700th most important person in the Rick and Morty pipeline. Yeah.
That's really cool, though. That's exciting.
Thank you.
If you're going to be beat by somebody, being beat by Snoopy
fine. I'm getting beat. I get beat by Garfield, my brother Garfield. And me, graphic novel adaptations. And it's a dire thing, those humor charts. It's a dire, and I'm probably one of the dire things too, but I'm proud of my work. Sorry, people who put their soul on the page. Rick and Morty got adventures.
Sorry, people who were shamed.
Yeah.
You put your soul on the page.
I do.
Your soul's very specific.
Yeah. I'm here to.
Your soul is Rick and Morty.
It's Rick and Morty. Hey, you Pickle Rick fans, buy my book. Even more news? Yes.
And where can our listeners follow you online?
Oh, please follow me on @AlexFear for other almost smart takes on the news. They come close. They never hit the mark.
And guys, I just want to say before we leave you today.
No, don't do it.
Care Bears share.
Share.
We love you very much.